My name is Bob Rosen. I'm a member of Independent Jewish Voices, and I sit on the National Steering Committee of Independent Jewish Voices.
Okay. Could you by any chance tell us the mandate of the Independent Jewish Voices?
Yeah, Independent Jewish Voices was formed about 4 years ago from various groupings of Jewish organizations in different parts of Canada who were already doing work on peace and justice in the Middle East primarily. And we formed to create an alternative voice on peace and justice questions to the dominant voice, which is mainly heard in Canada from the what we would call the Zionist establishment, the Canadian Jewish Congress, the B'nai B'rith, are two of the most important organizations that represent what I would characterize as the hardline Israel supporters in Canada. So Independent Jewish Voices is there to provide an alternative voice, Jewish voice, on Middle East affairs, one that represents, that respects the human rights of all the people in the region, that is a critical of Israeli policy, and that speaks for many Jews in Canada whose views are not represented by the dominant organizations, increasingly so.
First of all, what is your understanding of the situation at UBC with the Social Justice Committee? And also, why does the Independent Jewish Voices support the Social Justice Committee as they have?
Well, my understanding of the situation is that the student government is attempting to cut off the funds from the Social Justice Committee because they're engaging in political action. The two things that I understand they objected to was a co-sponsorship of the speaking engagement of Mr. Galloway that happened last week, in which I attended along with 1,200 other people, and their involvement in the Canadian boat to Gaza project. To us, the attack on them for doing that strikes us as part of a larger campaign of repression and denial of freedom of speech that's happening in Canada. It's another example. It doesn't stand alone, and we've been devoting considerable energies to addressing this. The most significant example of that is the so-called Canadian Parliamentary Committee against Anti-Semitism, which had a big conference 2 weeks ago in Ottawa, and they're a group of parliamentarians who are working to define criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism, and we think we're preparing to introduce legislation to try and criminalize criticism of Israel. They haven't done that, partly because there has been big, more and more opposition to their work by organizations such as our own, but many others as well. And so the notion that somehow it's irresponsible or anti-Semitic or unfair or unjust for people to take a political position in relationship which is critical of Israel, or to support someone like Mr. Galloway speaking who is critical of Israel, that is a threat to basic civil liberties in this country. And that's a big part of our work at the moment, is to stand up and defend the right of everyone, Jews, non-Jews, all people, all citizens in Canada, to be able to express freely their political views on the situation in the Middle East, which may well include being very critical of Israel from a number of different perspectives. That cannot fairly be judged to be anti-Semitic or outside the pale of legitimate debate and discussion. And if it is judged to be so, it's a threat to the liberties of every Canadian as far as we're concerned.
Right. The question is, why do you think groups like the Hillel House, well, first of all, why are they so troubled by, for instance, by actions like that of the Social Justice Committee? Do you think that they are actually worried about anti-Semitism? I mean, however misguided that might be, but do you think that they're genuinely interested in fighting anti-Semitism, and are they actually concerned about that?
Well, I think there's a certain mentality that exists within a section of the Jewish community, which is the section which tends to be heard from in the media and so on, which is a kind of circle the wagons mentality around Israel, in which there is a whole series of assumptions. Israel is the Jewish state. We are Jews. Israel is under attack. Therefore, we are under attack. Israel is the Jewish state. People who criticize Israel are criticizing us, are criticizing Jews. It represents a threat. We have a history of oppression, including a Holocaust. We are in danger. Do people believe that? Yes, I think people are sincerely believe that. And there is a kind of nationalist blindness, from my perspective, that leads one down the road of this sort of successive conclusions to a point where one is trying to repress the right of individuals to express their opinions on a matter that should be debatable in a democratic society. But I do think that, I don't think it's cynical in the sense that I think people genuinely are fearful about anti-Semitism, but there is an element of real delusion there in terms of any objective assessment of racism in Canada would show that certainly there's all kinds of evidence of racism in Canada, and there are many groups who are the targets of racism. There is some anti-Semitism, but far less institutional anti-Semitism than there was a generation or two generations ago. And the groups in Canada who are the products of increasing racism are people who are of Arab and Muslim descent, who face a constant stereotyping and racism in the media and elsewhere, First Nations people, Indo-Canadians, Asian people for whom there's a certain amount of resentment, and so on. So the notion that Jews, because of their historical oppression, are now particular targets of anti-Semitism, or that there's a rising wave of anti-Semitism, this is at best a delusion, if not a self-serving lie. So I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps people really believe this, but the evidence doesn't support that notion.
Right. And the question is, on the specific issue of the campuses, does the Independent Jewish Voices have connections or is in touch with any Jewish campus groups in Vancouver? And if so, do you have any, or given the fact that you apparently taught on a campus?
I was a teacher in a public school, so I never taught at the university level. I taught in Surrey in an elementary school.
Right.
We don't have any kind of organizational links to any Jewish student organizations, and to my knowledge, I'm not aware of any Jewish student organizations which share our view of being critical of Israel and our pro-peace position. I'm sure there are many individual students who are Jewish who are. I understand some of them work on the very group who's being criticized, but we don't have a kind of organizational link with them. And most of the people who are active here, frankly, are more geriatric, like I am. They tend to be older people, but I think we are an organized voice for a lot of people who share many or all of our views, but who aren't necessarily directly linked to our organization, including young people on campus.
Right. Yeah. But do you have any personal by word of mouth? Would you happen to know of the extent of anti-Semitism on campuses? I mean, in Vancouver, do you think? Do you happen to know if it's an issue at all, or has it come to your attention?
Well, the only so-called anti-Semitism that I ever hear about are when there are groups of students who are critical of Israel and make political criticisms of Israel, and then it becomes branded as anti-Semitism. What I call anti-Semitism, which is hatred of the Jewish people because they're Jewish, I'm not aware of any incidents of that on campus. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but no one has documented or shown to me or to us any incidents of anti-Semitism on campus at UBC or anywhere else, which in fact, when you examine it, is simply a political criticism of Israel. That's what it amounts to.
Right. So that brings me to my other question, which is, why do you think, and I think this is a question a lot of people have, why is it that So there are three entities. There's the government of Israel, there's the people of Israel, mm-hmm. and there's the Jewish diaspora, and just the Jewish international community.
Right.
Why do you think that both in the minds of people who are pro-Israel and people who are maybe anti-Israel, why is it that these three entities just get conflated so much to the point that criticizing one is construed as criticizing all of them?
Well, if I am someone who is a Zionist who strongly supports the state of Israel, its existence, and its policies, then I have a tough job, because increasingly it's obvious more and more widely to more and more people that Israel's treatment of the Palestinians is a disgrace, is a violation of human rights. And that obviousness has increased in the last few years. Many people who might even have been sympathetic to Israel when they observed what happened in Gaza in 2009 and 2010, 1,400 people killed, mainly women and children, mainly civilians, the use of white phosphorus, the act of piracy on the high seas, where 9 people were murdered, who were delivering goods to Gaza, and there was this ludicrous attempt to label them as terrorists, which is just no one believes that. So, if I'm a supporter of Israel and I've got it for whatever reason, and I want to prevent this mounting criticism of the political project which I support, then what has been perceived as the best way to prevent that is to try and stigmatize the people who criticize Israel as anti-Semitic. It's a very, very powerful weapon, and it has been powerful. It has silenced people, and it is still silencing people, even people on the left. I know people who are very outspoken on many progressive issues of peace and just social justice, who will not speak on this matter because they're afraid of being labeled anti-Semites. So there is the use of what I would call Christian guilt. Many people have a sense of residual guilt about what happened to the Jews and during the Holocaust era and so on. And the Zionists use that very effectively for their own political purpose, which is to suppress legitimate criticism of Israel, criticism that I would say is legitimate. It's a very powerful weapon in their arsenal. And whether they're sincere or not, it's really not germane. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about defending Israel, and it's about utilizing the charge of anti-Semitism as a potent ideological weapon in doing that.
Right. The question is, do you actually think that they truly believe that this is helping the state of Israel, this is somehow I'm asking this both regarding people outside of like groups like B'nai B'rith and so on,
yes.
And the current government of Israel itself, which is which I know has brought shame to a lot of Israelis. Many of my Israeli friends are very ashamed of this government. And the question is, do you think that this is these acts of provocation, like Operation Cast Lead, like the flotillas and so on, or the flotilla and so on and so forth, do you think they're actually there to make the general public, even the North American public, sympathetic mm-hmm. toward Israel, or if it's just out there to some might say, to actually, it's provocation for the sake of provoking, just to,
yes.
I don't know what the purpose might be, but
yeah. Okay, it's a complicated question, and I'll try to answer as briefly as I can. I think it's important to understand that within the Jewish community, and by that I mean Israeli Jews, Jews in the diaspora, there is a range of views on matters to do with Israel, Palestine, and peace. And the range of views extends all the way from, on the right, you might say, Netanyahu and the crazed Zionist who believe that there should be one Jewish state from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean, and who have not even a pretense of really wanting to make peace with the Palestinians, who believe in the most extreme and aggressive military posture, who really want pretty unapologetically to simply wipe out the Palestinians and ignore their existence. On the other extreme, if you will, at the other end of the polarity, are perhaps Jews like myself, who never saw the Zionist project as a legitimate project, who are fundamentally critical of Israel as a solution to the problems of Jewish people, and who see it as a kind of colonial entity which from the beginning was based on a fallacy, and have a fairly profound critique, or deep critique, of the whole project of Zionism. And in between us, in between myself, say, and Mr. Netanyahu, is a whole spectrum of people. Some of whom are pretty strong Israel supporters, but believe that the particular tactics that you identify are counterproductive, that they're stupid in terms of Israel's self-interest. There's other people who identify with Israel, but are more and more critical and want to end the occupation clearly, and want Israel to try and find another road to coexistence with its neighbors and with the Palestinians in particular, and so on. So there's a range of views. I think there are quite a few people in Israel and many people in the Jewish diaspora who are embarrassed by some of Israel's recent actions, who cannot reconcile those actions with their own views of justice and human rights, and Israel has a big problem. And if you look at the established Jewish community itself and the kinds of activities it's undertaking, they're very much on the defensive. So you have a big conference, Zionist conference, on how do we defend Israel from its wave of attacks. So that's the topic. Well, that would not have been a topic of a Zionist conference 2 years ago. The reality is shifting, and as a consequence of that, in some ways, people are becoming more desperate. People who simply aren't... There's some people for whom defense of Israel is simply a knee-jerk reaction, and they're not prepared publicly to be critical of even the most extreme government. And the Netanyahu government is an extreme government. It's the most right-wing government Israel's probably ever had. It's unbelievable, and you know, here's the president of the U.S. begging them to not build houses for 90 days, to not build illegal houses for 90 days, and Netanyahu says no. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there are certainly people in Israel that are saying, "Oh, Netanyahu, why don't you agree to not build the houses?" I mean, so you know, there is a range of opinion, certainly.
Right. Going to kind of the opposite extreme as Mr. Netanyahu, inside Israel itself, there are people like Uri Avneri and Gideon Levy and so on who claim that a lot of this stuff is really, I mean, it's somewhat analogous to the Bush-Cheney doctrine it'd be a very difficult case to make to say that Bush and Cheney went into war in Iraq actually to fight terrorism. You know, some might claim that they actually went into Iraq to actually increase terrorism, to make it more credible for, you know, U.S. presence in Afghanistan and so on and so forth. Do you think that, especially, you know, maybe not Netanyahu himself, but people like Lieberman and like people who are really even to the right of Netanyahu, do you think that their project is to actually bring back a resurgence of anti-Semitism? I mean, I know this sounds completely crazy, but it's just that it really feels that way. I mean, just how can you possibly think that attacking a group called the Social Justice Center would bring credibility to the Hillel House? I mean, why would you... I would really like to understand. I mean, I understand that it is desperation and it is nationalism, and I believe that with a lot of people who carry out these attacks, it is nationalism and it is desperation. But it feels like there's this, you know, this small group that is in there to actually provoke, to actually make things more, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
I don't have any inside knowledge or particular perspective on that. My experience in discussions with people who have those views is that there is a circle the wagon mentality in which someone made a brilliant film that showed at the Vancouver International Film Festival 2 years ago called Defamation. And the film is an Israeli filmmaker. And he set out to understand this whole phenomenon of anti-Semitism and Israel and how they relate with a kind of open mind, I think. And one of the things he did was he went with a group of Israeli teenagers who were taken on a tour of the concentration camp sites in Europe. And he observed with his camera the kind of really brainwashing process that was going on there. And there's a telling scene in the film when there's a couple of old Polish men sitting on a bench, and the Israeli security agent who's with these teenagers says, "Don't speak to them, they're anti-Semites." And the children shy away.
Yeah.
So is this a conspiracy, or is it simply a kind of manic delusion? I tend to the latter, not the former. That is, there is this kind of notion that the world hates us. And so if the world hates you anyway, if the nature of the world is that it's inherently anti-Semitic, and everyone in the world hates us, what's the difference? That if everyone in the world hates us, all we have is our own arms and our own strength. So what's the difference if we bomb civilians in Gaza, or we kill a few Palestine supporters on a Turkish boat? They hate us anyway.
Right.
They hate us anyway. And so that's the kind of paranoid mindset and this kind of mentality. And in my experience, that is more likely, frankly, than a kind of... it may have the effect, and in fact it does have the effect of increasing anti-Semitism and opposition to Israel. But it's really based on that whole set of assumptions, in my experience.
Right. So given the fact that it's a sociological phenomenon, not a political, and you know, it's not a conspiracy theory, and so on. So, what do you think is the next step for the Jewish diaspora to bring Israel out of this kind of this shell that they have hidden themselves in, and to kind of come out and be open and stop believing that everyone hates you and so on and so forth?
Well, I think that there are several steps that have to happen here. One step, and that's part of our particular mandate in Independent Jewish Voices, is I believe more and more Jewish people who are critical of Israel and who are not spoken for by the Jewish establishment need to come out of the closet and make their voices heard. And join with us in any, you know, I don't particularly care about our organizational hegemony. It doesn't. If there were many, many organizations, Jewish organizations on the left, that would be great. And we need to challenge openly. Jewish people need to challenge openly this ridiculous notion that to be critical of Israel is to be anti-Semitic. And the more and more that happens in a public way, the more and more it forces people to actually look at the issue itself, free from the stigma of guilt that if they think the Palestinians might have a point, then they must hate Jews. No dialogue can take place if that's the predominant paradigm. So that's a really important thing that has to happen in the diaspora, particularly in the West, in Europe and North America, where that notion of the new anti-Semitism being criticism of Israel is quite powerful, particularly in elites, amongst the elites in the European Parliament, and the Canadian government certainly buys into it. So that's a critical thing that has to happen. The other thing that has to happen, and Independent Jewish Voices supports the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign. And more and more, the people have to understand that the effect of Israeli policies on the Palestinian people is a form of apartheid, and merits the same kind of international opposition and international international action that South African apartheid did. And it's significant that some of the leaders of the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, the COSATU, the biggest union in South Africa, is at the leading edge of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And they understand the analogy. For them, it's very real. You know, people like Desmond Tutu have gone to Palestine and said the situation that Palestinians face in the occupied territories is worse than the situation blacks faced under apartheid. So this kind of moral force, demanding an end to the occupation, demanding that Palestinians be human rights be respected, demanding that there be some serious attempt to make peace, because the peace talk of successive Israeli governments are simply a pack of lies. Nobody that wants peace builds settlements on occupied territory and puts 400,000 people in them and says, yes, well, we want a two-state solution. You know, this is nonsense. And again, the more you understand about that, the clearer it is that this is nonsense. So that boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is growing quite quickly. More and more unions all over the world are joining it. There are some quasi-governmental organizations that are beginning to join it, church groups, civil society, and that's really what has to happen, I think, for people to start to understand the stakes of the struggle and to really put some pressure on Israel to change its policies and to see that it faces terrible isolation. If it goes down the road, it's going down now. Sooner or later, it will be seen universally as a pariah state, the way South Africa apartheid was. That's beginning to happen, and it needs to be escalated.
Just to play the devil's advocate, I have heard from very progressive Israelis that the BDS campaign actually does more to isolate Israel than to open it up, which is what you need to kind of and what they are actually worried about is that somehow democracy would collapse inside Israel because of all this pressure from the outside. And so my question for you is if groups like yours, Independent Jewish Voices, are they in touch with academics and dissidents, of whom there is plenty inside Israel, and to kind of encourage them to fight the system from within, as opposed to just boycotting and so on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in touch in lots of ways. I read Uri Avneri regularly. We've sent out on our email lists articles by Avneri, who's someone I have a lot of respect for. We also, there was a tour here of Gideon Levy, the Israeli journalist, and that question came up. He was, I would say, ambivalent about the question. He said his response as a critic of the occupation within Israel is, I hope it does work. I'm not sure it will work. It may have the effect of simply hardening attitudes. But he was more, in his answer to the question that I saw, he was more ambivalent about that. There are other people who on the Israel left who are critical of BDS or who want a limited BDS that's only directed at the occupation and so on. And these are tactical discussions which people have. In my view, and I think in IJV's view, there has been a call from 170 Palestinian organizations for a worldwide campaign. And we are going to heed that call, and we're going to participate in that campaign. And it is a nonviolent form of action. It is something that people can do as a matter of conscience, and we think that it is practical. And I think there are going to be some differences of views over tactics, as there always are. There are some differences of views over amongst people that support BDS. There are some differences of views over tactics of how to do the BDS campaign. Whenever people are using their brains, they're going to sometimes disagree, but that's part of building a movement.